equipped into. You know, sometimes that's when I say this barbed wire and post unlimited posts, but I haven't seen so many pictures of it. But sometimes I wonder if I really consider it negative or what. What I do remember is that there were trees. There were trees in Broken Basin, and there were bodies under the trees, and there were bodies every place you went. And part of the fences were actually bodies, you know, piles of blood going up against the fence. That was, I guess, when we first actually got into Broken Basin. But the first place we were brought to was, of course, where we had to disrobe. Where we had to get out of and leave everything. And then we did go into the showers. And the showers were warm. They were not glass, the way people talk about afterwards. And when we came out, we were shivering because it was so cold and because we were so scared. And I was with this new mother of mine, because every time got a new person, she was like a new mother, and again, I thought that that was normal and natural to get somebody to watch you. I wish I knew her name, or what she looked like, or if she ever survived. But I doubt it, because if she had survived, I probably would have stayed with her rather than going on to somebody else. This woman really missed trouble for the 2 months. Because when we came out of these prison cold showers, there were piles of clothes, and she stoned. She ran to one of the cars and took a blanket that was probably taken from somebody else. And we were given what I remember like a brown dress on the back that you put on, but I don't think it distracted any things at all. And that blanket was the thing that kept us warm. Because we lived in long barracks, and there were barracks on one side, and I don't know if we were there all the time, but I remember. By the time we were in camp for a while, but on one side it was only for children. But I was not there with only children because I had nothing. So I was on the side with women and children. And there were no beds. You see pictures of stalls. I do not remember that at all. I remember the cement concrete floor was strong. And the lice in the face. I remember this woman cracking the nails. I can remember the size of that, of those nails, as she tried to get the lice out of my hair. I don't remember the bathrooms, but I think they used to be outside also. You didn't have to have a shoe. You know, if you didn't. I also don't remember certain things. What can I say that I used to be having a baby teeth? And I said, no, I don't remember having baby teeth. And I said, well, look at your mouth now, you have another teeth. So I guess I must have, but I don't remember. I don't remember this. I said, it was an interesting question because it must have happened. With this woman, and I remember getting the food. And I remember very vividly the smell of the soup. We had this soup which was made primarily of vegetables and potato peels. And this sort of bread tasted like sawdust. The soup was something that we longed for and we looked forward to immensely. I must have been speaking English because I don't speak Polish. And by the time I came to the United States, my life got a little bit more normal. I knew some Swedish after speaking, and Yiddish. And that was, so that must have been chance to speak Polish to anybody, but I don't know what it's like. But what do you remember about that trip to that moment? About the sort of days we had and we spent? I don't remember very much. I have no idea of what we did, except that I remember going out to these, where I walked, see all these bodies. I remember that. And I asked people what the children do in Burton Coffee, and many people said they didn't do anything. I don't know. I'm hoping to find that out. That's one of the reasons I came to the Imperial War Museum. I don't know. I just remember that one day I was under one of those trees and I could see that in my mind. Apparently, I had a bad case of typhus. I remember that I just couldn't get it. I didn't get it back. And by that time, I think the woman who had been was not there anymore. I remember somebody else. One of the things that I remembered was that there was a woman in the barracks that I had lived in, opposite the little children. And this woman was screaming, and she had a big scar. And she had got into a different part of the barracks, and it indicated. And I saw this. I didn't know how the baby got in or how the baby came out. Later on, I realized that she had given birth, and I knew she came in with a baby and was pregnant. How it was, but I don't know what happened. But I remember seeing the baby burn the screen, and the next day, this woman walking around and they're cursing. Some of them I remember always cursing, but I'm not sure what to do. But it's one of those things that what was happening? I had no idea that I had ever explained what was given birth was, or it was not something that had happened very often. But I was lying under one of these trees. There was a lot of movement. People were running, and people were crying, and people were yelling, and tears were coming. And apparently what had happened was that the British came in to the Philippines. And then I was taken with other children, and I remember getting some milk and getting some bread. Very often in the camp, in Germany, big year, they'd come in and everybody would be out there in the camp, and they would stand and they would be there. But there were these two living dogs, and not other people. I don't know how many kids are living in the camp. They made such a fun, a little bit of a family affair. This time, almost the second year, normal life. This was a normal life, except that I remember saying to myself, I'm never going to cry, 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 because I'm never going to cry. I remember another people that were distinct from survivors. Some people thought it said that everybody was going to see this. I would have been able to see how it was to care. Maybe it was not me. Because I was that group. I don't think that I could possibly could have survived if I could have done better. Because people knew me. And everyone came in and made me feel like my brother came straight back. Was there anyone sort of caring for them doing?
Yes, there were some women. You know, I have met since then somebody had been in. None of those people remember me. And I don't remember them. But as I said, I was not with the walking children until after. And there was a woman who came from Auschwitz who was a nurse and found was a senior teacher. Why children remained alive in different places is I don't understand. Some people claim that Birkenhausen was a camp. It was a camp where they brought other students. And maybe they needed the children to show their compassion and show their abilities and trades or whatever the case is. I was certainly not aware of it at that time. But there were children who were living there. I believe there may have been 200 children who were aware of Birkenhausen. But every time you read something, you see they're different. Thomas Braha, who is now working in Berlin, he's a German man, he's working on making Birkenhausen at the museum or the Berlin site, and he's doing it for my children. And he does the working on me specifically, but he said, in his writing, at different times, he mentions different numbers. So I don't know if they're exactly. Well, as I said, I know I left the Birkenhausen for Germany. I was really, really deep. And that I'm not. I have records. I have found my records. I have a list of Jews who were there at the German concentration camps. I have a list of children that they taught me for the Romans in Birkenhausen. And I also have a list in this person's camp in Sweden. So I know when I left. But I don't know when I came. But other people claim that there were groups like this coming in at the end of 44. So it would be in the end of 4 months, 5 months. But I don't know.
It was interesting when you went to them, the bodies were already piling up. So it could indicate that it was going to be the end.
There were bodies there. I remember the bodies very, very vividly. And then they apparently built the bodies by making these big graves where there were thousands of bodies would be just shoveled in. Because I think the British thought that they could continue the epidemic if the bodies were unburied. But the bodies, every day they would put out bodies in the bodies. It was a normal kind of thing. I don't know that anybody felt in any way nauseated by it. This was what life is. I don't know anything that happens to people. It would be very interesting to hear about what happened to them. So, what do you
think? The arrival of the British, you know, that you have described so well, you know, so how did you relate to the liberation? Did you get on well with them? Obviously, the language was different. How did it was that so?
I'm rather aware of what you said that gave me food. And they gave me food, and I went to this tent, and there were sheep, and there were beds. And so it was a different kind of life. And somehow or other, amazing how people go from transition to transition. And I can't even be speaking to them, but I remember the change. We accepted it.
When you're getting food, it's just that soup that I was described to you. It's and how did you adjust when you started being given food? Did you find that you could take it on? I don't remember that, and I do remember when I came from Sweden to the United States. Do you remember in this period after liberation when you began to get well again in the hospital? You know, from that time until you went to sleep, what was your life sort of, how had it changed in getting food and being kept feeling well? Were you, for instance, getting close to work? I don't remember that I'm getting back in the hospital. By this time, any concept of what had actually happened between Poland and Germany? How
did it
go?
The prince wasn't smart enough to do it. I guess there must have been talk about it. The good people and the bad people. I think it was just such a concern of just having the food and not being so scared. Looking back at it now, I can't say that I remember thinking that at that time, and I don't remember thinking that I was a child. I was not a child. I was one of the people there. I had to be. The other thing was that I didn't even be working. The big thing was the fact that I didn't find a child. Did you meet friends with other children?
Are you doing this?
Again, I don't remember Bergen, Belgium, in Sweden. In Sweden, I made friends in the hospital, and I made friends with a Swedish man. I don't know why I made friends with him, because it made my life probably. But he came to me, he adopted. And I think at the end of the first doll that I remember. Now, I'm not saying I didn't have a doll before I was 3 years old, but I don't remember boys like that. Actually, there was one thing that I remember before the war. I was sick with like a lump in my throat, and the doctor came and put a hot thing on so that he cut something from me. Maybe that's why it stands out. I don't know. This is before the war.
But in the hospital, this Christian man took a liking to me. And I know that because I got registered in Swedish, I worked in student government, and the hospital is still in existence then. And I spoke, it was difficult, but I went back to Sweden, and when I spoke to the young people who speak English, they didn't remember the hospital. And I tried to speak to the older people, they didn't speak English. So we finally found a couple with their children. Children, I think, were like 20, and maybe their grandparents who were older than them. We went over and we asked the children to ask the grandparents. And sure enough, we had a couple of years left at the DPK. And we went to the hospital, and I told them to do the apology and to ask. And I was in that hospital for a long time, getting lots of food, getting lots of medicine, being treated very nicely, and the Swedish man was coming. And he had kind of given me the survivor. He wanted me to stay with him. I don't remember his wife as well. But I remember him and I remember the dog. And I also remember one day the dog, the leg came off, and I thought it was the best thing that I had ever done because it made me so angry with him. And it was like a rubber with two. Do you remember those kind of dogs where you give a two and it's a little thing? And he fixed it. And he wanted me to stay with him. But people around me told me that I was Jewish, whatever that meant. I mean, I had no idea if I was Jewish or not Jewish. I was part of the group there. And that the Jewish children were going to be taken
to the hospital. Do you remember that? Had you any sort of concept that what was happening to you was because you were Jewish? Did that come into it?
No, I really was very naive. I didn't think that I had any way of being aware of this, except that there were good people and there were bad people. The good people were on the outside and they were able to look out, and the bad people were on the inside. And I was one of them. So there were two, I don't know if the word is good or bad, but there were two types of people. The ones who could be free and the ones who had to be in this. And I always knew that, but again, you accept that. And I don't know if anybody did that, but if they did, they sort of wouldn't talk to me about it. And if they did, I would never just talk
to them. I was wondering whether any rabbis, you know, you came into contact with any rabbis during the liberation period, or during the liberation in Swedish.
In Sweden. And I did not go with this man, he had his baby to go with him. Where did he give him class? He would start maybe the ABC, maybe the county changes. I had never gone to school before. So in Sweden, he would give him class to go with him. He would talk about that. Lots of people saw me. And I had an one of the children was a good person. And I got to see a woman claim to have been my cousin. When I say claim, she may very well have been my cousin, but it's not that I knew about it, she did. And I remember she had a beautiful sweater, a light blue sweater with white reindeers. And the Swedish people did, and she had a different bag. But I was supposed to go to these children. And one of the things that I remember also doing in this room is that we lived in a DP camp, and there were outhouses outside of the station. And one day, and there was a beautiful lake there, even when I stayed in that lake, and I don't know where I got the ice cream from, because I said, God, I have to ask them to speak on the church bell, and I saw their bells, and after that, we went back to Sweden, and I kept on saying, I've got to speak to the Apple and the lake. And sure enough, it was still there. The DP camp was still there, being used as a DP camp. There were people from Chile who had been there for a few years. I think there's a little water there now, and it's
up to the place over the lake. And one day I remember he said, and the man with the long tail looking started looking at him. And the tail was so clear that he was so clear. And so he was interested in him. And he was so stupid. And he was so crazy. And so he did it. I ran into the island. And through the island, it was a man. But they were uncomfortable. They were looking like him. And he couldn't touch me down. And he also couldn't get them out of it. While I was in sleep, waiting to be taken to the show, into the office, I just can't have a thing, but then I did meet a cousin of mine. He was also a young boy who was also studying, and he was going to school. And there was a woman, and her name was Ida, and she met his son, Sidney, and his old family. Her brother had managed to get to the United States, and after the war, while they were waiting for the ship, the three of them, the men of ten, and the 9 years old, the boy in Germany, died. And so the mother, looking back at it, I didn't know how to do it, because she asked him to be safe to be happy. So the grief. But she asked me, now I was 9 and a half years old, born in Germany, and my name was Fanny. And I came to the United States. And I remember the class of being on a big ship, and we went up and down the ship, and she had got me a blue pantsuit and a red dress. And, you know, I had all the luxury. I don't know how many other clothes I had, but at that time it was so tremendous luxury. And on the ship, there was lots of food, and then there was music, and then we were coming to the United States, and it was back to the liberty, and I was like a great place, and there were hundreds of people welcoming the new immigrants. Again, this was a new part of life, and I just didn't get any of it. Well, what else?
Exactly. Not for me, it was nothing. How did a woman like that just say, I love the boy, I'm going to go? And I don't remember her crying anymore. But I guess that her also is a really nice. I don't understand many of these things, and I wish I had had a move from that to remember things that I don't remember. Maybe I just remember things that I want to remember about that. But I just remember being a wonderful person and coming in and finding all these people waiting. And then there was a Mr. and Mrs. Goldberg who came, and they took us from New York to a place called Brooklyn, and they lived in this huge house. I didn't realize at that time it was an apartment.